Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
The Mixing Music Podcast is proud to say that we have a lot of free resources outside of the actual podcast. Visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/links to find access to our free PDFs and free resources. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host DK, and with me as always is my lovely co-host, Lobotoru.
Blue robot?
Robot Lou, but like I had to do it in Japanese. Robotoru in order for it to be the L.
I mean, if I was the $1 million man, I might take a mortgage out against myself because apparently I have value.
There you go. Sure. Today's episode is about AI.
Apparently.
It's a short, simple episode. And this is gonna be a different take on AI, mostly because one, Lou and I are probably the most optimistic people you've met in the creative industry. Like, there's a lot of people that are dead set hating against it. And actually, as an optimist, I do think that that's like important. I don't think that's healthy, but I think it's important. But there's so many people having an existential crisis that I don't think that, like, that's part of the reason why I think AI is going to be okay, is because there are so many people that are freaking out that we will naturally, you know, preserve human rights and everything will work out. And only get the good parts about it. Anyway, so we're just going to talk right into it.
Yeah.
So we're both fairly optimistic about it. We both think it's fun. We've both enjoyed AI music. And then we also have some commentary on like Ozone AI mastering and other AI mastering stuff and mixing stuff. And we could talk about that and what we think and some general stuff. We don't want to get too deep. We are not, obviously we're not, we don't have doctorates on building AI tools, all right? We're not professionals in this. We're just two random assholes on the internet that kind of have
emphasis
like lukewarm
on assholes.
Yeah, there you go. That have like lukewarm opinions on AI. But I do think that it's an important conversation to have. Also, be aware, we're motivated to get clicks and listens on this episode. So to a certain degree, if you tell us what you want to hear, I'll tell you it, you know? I'm just kidding. That's a joke. I don't care.
Are we a reaction podcast now?
Yeah, this is a fucking podcast. I talk about what I think about. Okay, so a couple things. There are a couple things that I enjoy. Okay, a couple AI things that I enjoy recently. I went to Suno.ai, so a buddy of mine showed me. I wrote a song. I typed in three sentences. I said, modern retro funk style. Song about train going on a run and having a code brown. Trying not to poop your pants, use the word poop. And it came up with a solid ass hook. And I played it on my Instagram stories. Part of the reason why you want to be following us, because I do stupid shit like that. It was fantastic. The hook was great. It was obviously kind of like that like AI garble warble thing. But it was the hook was catchy. Code brown, poop. It's fantastic. It was great. All right. Another thing that I'm enjoying is old Japanese anime music, so like the theme to Evangelion, but sung by Frank Sinatra. Hell yes. Frank Sinatra singing Japanese.
So
Frank Sinatra singing Japanese themes. Hell yes, dude. That's so good. What else am I enjoying? Oh, there's an Instagram and YouTube and TikTok channel called Obscurist Vinyl. Dude, so good. And I think that like Obscurist Vinyl is like a great
Is that the one where they like make everything almost like 60s inspired?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's all, and it's cool. It's very creative too. And this is a good case study of what we'll talk about. Maybe we'll just get right into it. So they have songs like you look like you could use a fucking lamp. And like this, there's songs like, I don't give a shit. I'm rubbing and tugging my nips again. Anyway, it's time to take a shit on the company's dime. Quit jizzing in the hot tub. This baptism fucking blows. Just like, it's raining bullshit. Like, it's all these random songs that are generated by AI in the style of old vinyl records. And it's very creative because it's like old SNL style, like really off the wall, random, hit or miss type. Really, it's like funny because it's so bad. And then the second thing is like, it's a graphic designer, or they use AI or something like that, and they make these sleeves, like these vinyl artwork covers, like the actual album vinyl covers, to look like it's from an old era, like you said, like the 60s or 70s or something, very vintage. And the sounds, the AI tones, are very old school sounding. So it's like this creative concept. They like, it took a lot of human input to get to the point where they were having AI spit these stupid songs out. And it is fucking fantastic. And you could tell, like, even me as a consumer, it's like, oh yeah, it's AI to produce the music and to produce some of this stuff. But like, it took a lot of thought and a creative person to get to this point where like they're making content that I think is hilarious. So anyway, that's just another thing. So I was just talking about things that I enjoy with AI. Lou, is there anything that of recent that within our domain of music that you've enjoyed with AI?
So yes and no. More, I'll say it like this. Yes, on the music side, for one reason. So I didn't know it was Suno.com that was like the most popular one. But I'm seeing the logo and I'm like, oh wait, I do recognize this. I don't know if it's the most popular, but I know I see it a lot. But there's some YouTubers where they're actually using AI to kind of create like little content jingles that are just kind of funny. They're comedically bad. Right. And this is kind of where I think like the big divide is for me, where it's like me doing a lot of mastering, like most of my catalog is mastering work. But, you know, with all of the AI mastering that's going on, people are like, oh, you know, they're going to target that. They're coming after songwriters now because of this AI stuff. I'm like, you know, you should hear some of what AI is doing. It's not even close yet to being really all that great. But I've seen how some creatives are using it to create entertaining content and being able to have a little more access to it. Because if you were to ask somebody to write you a song with music and everything right now, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. But if you're willing to take the bullet of like, oh, this is still pretty damn bad, you know, this sounds hilarious. It's glitchy voiced and everything, like whatever. There's a guy that goes by Rattle Pokemon. He's kind of like the CoffeeZilla of Pokemon cards, if you will. Like he looks into.
I don't
all
even
the
know
scams
the original
the
reference.
Stuff.
CoffeeZilla. The CoffeeZilla?
Imagine there's like I guess trending issues in the world, right? Like he covered AI and stuff like that at that point too. And he was talking about all the different things, the people involved, and he like deep dives detective all into it, whatever. It's worth having a coffee and sometimes listening to some of them, but whatever. Point is, there's a guy that Rattle is being sued by. He got hit with the slap lawsuit. But it's one of those where, like, as he's been showcasing all the court documents and everything and really showing, it's like, dude, this guy really is being a wiener baby. Like, from everything that we're seeing, like, you can get your own opinion that, like, yeah, that dude's a wiener baby. So, you know what he's been posting lately? He's like, what if Sean Bassick was a 90s pop song boy band? What if Sean Bassick was an 80s grunge metal band? What if this? And it's just a bunch of stupid prompts. And he plugs in like his little investigative work. And it's like all of his investigations became pop songs, punk songs, reggae songs. And you're just like, this is hilarious. Like, look at what AI has done. It's given a guy that has nothing to do with music access to be able to say like, hey, we're just going to make a stupid song right now. Yeah, that's like the funny thing is AI in music right now is still being used more as like a comedic tool than as a serious tool.
Oh, and this that, is where oh, I think it's think getting about good. That, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's getting good to the point where it's like, sure, the Writers Guild doesn't want AI involved. That's totally understood. And I get it because it comes down to the profession. And we're trying to make sure that jobs are being maintained versus manipulated and just cut short. But if you were to look at it with a different set of eyes, just saying like, hey, you know what, on social media, if you wanted to promote your business and you knew that you kind of wanted to go a funny route, why not just throw in some of your company's business models and saying, hey, come work with me. I'm an engineer with no ego, whatever, but you make it into an AI song. Like, who knows? Some people might just laugh at it. Some people might criticize you, but hey, at a certain point, what is it? Bad press is good press. Any press at all is going to be good press. It gets people engaging, gets people talking about it. And you can start a conversation on AI just by prompting a stupid song.
Yeah, there's we should quickly and briefly address the serious concerns. There's so many mm-hmm. other podcasts and YouTube videos yeah. that address this a lot. Everybody's hyper aware of them, probably too aware of them, which is why we're just going to gloss over them. For example, mm-hmm. things like copyright infringement and feeding the AI tools things that are copyright and written by humans in order to heavily influence those that are made. Mm-hmm. I think that in general, humans do the same thing. Creativity, a quote that I've heard is creativity is just the ability to hide your influences. That being said, yeah. it is different when it's from humans by machine versus from humans by humans. And I think that influence should be considered. I do think there's the dangers of, so we said copyright infringement, the dangers of job security, right? Mm-hmm. And I also think that there's actually a positive side to that. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, potentially, lots of people lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Or,
to be honest, like,
that's the scary bit.
I saw an interview where somebody was saying, going back to the, you know, creativity is hiding your influences. I think that's still naturally the case because there was an interview. I don't want to say the writer's name because I don't want to accidentally say the wrong person and imply that somebody did something when it was somebody else. But I know it's a known writer. I know they've booked our studio before too, like a pretty big, well-known name. But they admitted on an interview saying like, you know, before AI was doing like lyrical things and like helping people write poems, like sometimes we're tasked to write on songs that are sampling an old song. And so you want to say the line that they used to say, but you wanted to say it in a new way, something that won't be like, what is it like? Oh, it's copywritten lyrics or melodies or whatever. So like he used to have to write it out himself and then try to rephrase it in a new way for the song. So that way it wasn't exactly the same lines, exactly the same melody. But now he's like, you know, it's gotten a little bit easier because the more I get to work, sometimes I get stalled on something and I can't think of a word or I'll try to, you know, rephrase in a certain way and it's just not working for me. Sometimes I'll plug it in and be like, actually, I like that word better. Hold on. Let me rewrite to this. So they'll use it as like a reference tool for themselves, the same way that some people might write an email and say, hey, can you rephrase this just a little more professionally? Or can you make this a little more a little less formal because I'm having a hard time writing this in a less professional way, you know, but it's just kind of funny. Like there is I see where like that gray area exists, like plugging in the lyrics of an old song and then asking for a rephrase into a new melody, but saying the same thing basically is the same thing that this guy has admitted to doing as a writer without AI for years. And that's how he got signed, by being really good at coming up with lines. And sometimes when it calls for that kind of style of writing, you know, he's like, you know, it just made my job a little bit easier. I'm not using what it said word for word, but it's giving me new options to explore, the same way that if I was in a room full of writers, I could pitch the same question to a room full of writers, and that's what it is. But if I'm tasked to do a bunch of work and I'm running short on deadlines and I'm not in a room full of writers, this is kind of a nice little tool to have on the side. And that's where like the conversation, the interview went like very back and forth, where they're like, well, see, now you're using AI negatively. And he's like, it helped improve my work and I'm not using the AI verbatim. So there was that whole divide where like people are now questioning like, oh, so how much of the stuff that they wrote really them?
Yeah. I do think that like, again, we talk about this often, like, if you immediately are turned off by AI and you haven't even given it a shot, I think that is very reflective of something internal. And I think it is something that we mm-hmm. should address and something that you should challenge. And I'm not trying to change your mind necessarily, but I'm trying to speak to you as an optimist. Some people that, and this is funny because I'm a professional, like my income is based on my creative endeavors. And yet how can I still be an optimist? Not only does it feel immoral to some people, but they feel like I'm contributing to some sort of creative genocide, which is interesting. I think that that is a very extreme way of looking at it. And again, very reflective of something internal going on within the people that think that. But anyway, there's a lot of negative things, potentially negative things with AI. Nothing has come to extreme fruition yet, just small case studies and anecdotes here and there. But we're going to see more and more things. I think in general, obviously, I do think some of these bad things are going to happen. In general, people are going to lose their jobs and a lot of simple tasks are going to be taken away. But I do think that that's going to be for the greater good. And at the end of the day, I don't think humans will allow AI to do that severely. To the point where I hate to say it, and I'm going to put my knock on wood, and I love mixing, but if mixing in general becomes so deprioritized as a society, yes, it sucks for me, and yes, I will need to pivot and find something else to do, but I think in a macro, like it will suck in a micro scale, but in a macro scale, I think that that decision will probably be made by the population, not by an elite few, but by the general population, because the population does not value my work. And I think it's, there's going to be a gentle balance between something where do I continue to potentially egotistically pursue something that the general population does not value, or do I pivot into something and find and create value somewhere else? That's a whole nother conversation. Won't get into it right now. But the point is, I just like Dune, where if you've watched Dune or read Dune, it's a society that's based after AI. Like they fought AI, and now humans are against the universe law to make any machines that employ AI. Because there was some war or something. It's like on the premise that there was an AI takeover millennia ago. I forgot the history of Dune. But the point is, humans don't use AI anymore and they've restricted it. And I think it's easier to restrict something than people think it is. And I think that humans will naturally do that. If the consensus of the general population and the values of the creatives don't align, I think people will naturally protect the creatives. I do think creatives will naturally cut through. And I think that if it becomes more difficult to be creative or to create standout high, I think if AI takes over the low quality jobs or the inferior work, then what will happen is that it'll create more opportunity for higher level minds, higher level creatives. Actually, it'll expand, it'll become more accessible. And the more accessible it is to everyone, and the more tools there are to everyone, as the demand goes up, then I think the jobs that do well, there's going to be slightly more, but more importantly, each one's going to pay a little bit more because there's going to be significantly more value. So like, I'm going to get paid a little bit more. Potentially you and I are going to get paid a little bit more because we are one of the few humans that can do this, that do a better job than machines, right? Or, Leslie Brathwaite's mentioned that he's not afraid.
I like to think of it as like, mm-hmm. I look at it in the sense that we heard this be an issue when equipment started going down in price, that the industry is more accessible. DistroKid and CD Baby now made it to where you can release a song for like $9.99 at the early stages and things like that. And now there's so much music flooding the market that it's really hard to stand out as an artist. But when you do, it's that much more significant that you do. You know, because instead of having like a few songs that came out and only a few songs are coming out because only the record labels are putting these songs out, now everybody's putting music out. And so, yeah, the bar goes down a little bit when it comes to the entry point, but the bar keeps getting higher whenever we see quality that stands out. You know, so as AI gets better, I don't really see it as something where it's like, oh my God, you know, so many people are going to lose a job or this and that. It's like some people are really in this industry just to put out music and just have fun with it. Some people are here to take it more seriously, and you can tell the difference when you do see that. But those wins are going to be at a higher bar. The bar keeps going up at this point because the standard for quality is just going to continue increasing. I think it's something that is good for the trade when it comes to specialists. If you're just doing everything and you're kind of half-assing it because you think your job is secure, then I think AI might actually replace you. I think that's definitely true. I think there is...
if you're not actually being innovative, you will be replaced. Yeah, which
exactly.
I think is a good
thing. The job of a basic assistant, like just scheduling assistant and things of that nature, just making sure projects are on point. I mentioned that I'm going to be looking at the... I think it's called motion.ai, which is like AI generated like scheduling and things of that nature. You put in your work, your projects, when they need to be due by, priorities on each, and it'll actually optimize your schedule and tell you like, this is what we think you should do in this order in order to keep everything going. And it's heavily marketed towards people with ADHD. So I'm curious to see how it works, because I kind of, you know, to be honest, I've never used AI for scheduling nor anything. And even when I had an assistant to help me with my schedule and everything, which was definitely helpful, but even a human assistant doesn't get everything right. So I don't expect AI to get everything right. But where does it actually help? You know, it's not just about taking jobs, but how much more efficient can it make you? How much more can it lend a hand to building better systems in your work so that you as an individual can elevate in what you do? It goes back to the whole idea of, yes, 10,000 hours doing something makes you whatever they say, like professional or excellent at something. But if it's not 10,000 hours specifically doing the thing you're supposed to be good at, then it's not really 10,000 hours at it. If you're spending 5 hours on your scheduling and 4 hours mixing per day, that 9 hour day is really just a 4 hour day doing what you're doing. But if there's a way you can systemize, use AI to help you out with the rest of the process, maybe it's batching, renaming, color coding, setting up sessions and things of that nature so that you can focus on the creative side of the work, then you're actually being allowed more time to do the thing that you're being paid to do. It's not that it's taking away jobs from an assistant or anything, but it's actually amplifying to a point where, hey, I still would need an assistant to do client communication. I'm not going to leave client communication to AI. I'm not going to have like file receiving and all that, making sure that we're going to meetings and all that kind of stuff, making sure we're staying in communication with everybody. All that can't be replaced with AI, but certain small tasks can be. I mean, look at Bounce Butler. Bounce Butler is a good example where it's just an Apple script. It's not necessarily AI in a full-fledged kind of sense, but when I have to bounce stems, it's annoying. I'm not going to lie. It's 30 to 40 minutes worth of work that I just don't want to do. But it's really nice to know that I can go have a cup of coffee or start on the next project while Bounce Butler is doing its thing.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes. Okay. Another thing that I want to talk about as well is from a philosophical level, on a personal level. This is interesting. This can go into politics in general, or just we can expand this to a much more macro place in general. But I'm a big, and I've always been a big proponent on this podcast about mental health and figuring out what things are worth spending energy on. And I do think that AI is very scary. Now, historically speaking, those that are scared of new technologies versus those that accept it, embrace it, and adopt it early, there's a economic difference. There's a mental health difference. So I do think that it is healthier mentally to accept it and move on. I hope that nobody listening and those that are actually going through an existential crisis, like, I hope that you're able to cope with that in one way or another. And I don't think that you're lesser than for not being able to cope with it or having a difficult time understanding it. But I do think that it's important to consider this is one of those things where it is, you need to figure out, push back, how much you want to push back, how much you want to hate on something, how much you want to disagree with something versus how much it costs to do so. And the cost is not free. That is something to consider. So I do think that, like, take it from two professionals that are fairly optimistic about it. It's okay to be optimistic about it. We're giving you permission to be optimistic about it if you want to. And I do think that my optimism is based on the fact that I think most people will not be. And I think that that is going to be a natural yin-yang balance of pushback. And AI will, at this point, will not take over because so many people are pushing back. And I think that that's a healthy balance. I'm just not going to be one of those people that push back. So that's just something to consider. Okay, a couple things more practical now. We're going to talk about some mixing and mastering tools. Nick from Panorama Mastering had a video about AI and the same things that I'm talking about, how increasing accessibility gets to higher wages, equals higher wages from economics increases wages as well as promotes actual creativity and innovation. If AI, the biggest fault of AI is that it can only be fed based on things that have been done historically. And if you actually create something that has never been done before, like actually, and do what TI says, which is make something new and not just like everything else, like with baby in their name, you know, remember T-Pain. That meme? Yeah. T-Pain. Yeah. T-Pain was like, just write different shit. Write different. This is the same song. You got the baby doing this shit. You got two guys with the name Baby in their name.
I saw the video that you're talking about with Panorama Mastering, and I wholeheartedly agree with him because...
Yeah, of course.
It's just one of those where it's like, if it's genuinely something new, then AI probably hasn't done it yet because it's prompted by those who have done something in the past. Like, it's not giving you this... Holy crap, this whole new artist with an all new sound came out.
And that's the argument, right?
It's like somebody has to prompt it to do something. It's like a computer. Computers can do so much, but it's a dumb box until you do something.
And the argument is that with AI and the development of AI is that it eventually can start thinking on its own and doing things that nobody's ever done before. That's the counter argument. But we're gonna move on past that. For right now, there's a couple things that I think are important to note as well. The music industry as a whole doesn't make enough money for all these investors to put money into. ChatGPT, which is scalable, may be worth it. But like, and Suno, like film and TV is a significantly bigger industry, and anything that uses film, and like the marketing companies, music, it's not small, but a lot of it, we'd be better. Oh, never mind. I need to be careful with things I say. But there's a lot of low effort stuff. I mean, I'm going to put myself on a whim here. Forgive me if I offend you here. But like, look what's happened to trap music in the last 5 years, 2 years. I mean, look what's happened to Drake's music. The last Her Loss, the entire album sounds like it could have been produced by one of those 13-year-old speed beat makers on Twitch who made each beat in 30 seconds.
I'm not gonna lie. The last time I said something like I said something along the lines of that when I first heard it, and I was like, "They're like, oh, what do you think of the album?" I'm like, I don't like it. It sounds like one of my interns did it.
dude, it sounds like one of my interns' baby mamas made that. Like you know, like children made that.
Like we have one of their nephews. We have had interns that make better productions.
Oh yeah,
both in quality and like progression in the music, like just in general.
Yeah, and if that's the case, if that is what's happening, I hope that AI continues to threaten our industry. Because if we
because it just makes the quality bar go up.
Dude, if and we're seeing a huge resurgence in actual instrumentation in jazz and funk and rock. We're seeing in country again.
Country
and
is starting to get
And I think it's because AI is becoming a threat. And like all of this low effort money grab label stuff, I think it should again, I need to stay relevant with the industry. So I need to, like, as someone working in the industry, I don't want to be shit talking things that are like currently relevant. But like at the same time, like I think Drake has been significantly more innovative and creative in the past. And I think that he's still able to do so now. But I do think there's a little bit of laziness involved, which I hope AI keeps chasing after his butt. Like I hope that he keeps looking in the rearview mirror, wondering if AI is ever going to catch up, because I hope they do at that point.
Now, something that I don't think that AI is ever going to replace is the experience of music. It's such a huge factor in the way I look at things. Like, for instance, you ever listen to like the AI voiced TikToks and Instagram reels and you're just like, it's so monochromatic. And even the ones that have emotion just don't feel very genuine and things of that nature. Now, whenever I'm recording with an artist, I always give the reference point of, you know, give me something like Anthony Hamilton or give me like old Tyrese and Usher where like you really felt like they were tearing their shirt off in the rain. Like, come on, give me that vibe. But when you talk about like how AI is influencing the market and how it's just flooding the market, right? Tell me, how do you think your experience is when you go to like a Taylor Swift concert or something of that nature, where they put all this time and effort into the production quality of not just the song, but of the experience, the moment you walk through those doors and everything? AI is not going to change the music industry. It's just making the quality bar go higher and higher. Because if I were to go see a Taylor Swift concert right now, there's no amount of AI that's going to make her performance any better if she can't actually perform, if she can't actually like work with a crowd and engage and know how to actually like lead a crowd into the next section of the concert's stages, if you will. You know, there's going to be more accessible tools, sure, but that just means that if everybody has the same level of access to the same tools that can do all these amazing things, then you really got to stand out that much more in everything else you do. Now, that just means if you got to post three times a day, hey, AI might be able to help you do that. I know I don't like being in front of a camera. That's the whole point of doing the YouTube channel, just to get over myself. But there's people who talk about it on YouTube where they're saying like VTubers are existing now because I forget the YouTuber's name. The dude had like 1.8 million followers, was getting a ton of money from it. And then he took that money and invested it in an AI development company where now it looks at all of his previous videos and created a virtual version of him that can create consistently three videos a day with commentary and everything, full editing. It still has to be prompted by people, but everybody that has watched his channel says it just doesn't feel the same. It's not the same emotion. It's not the same vocalization. It just doesn't feel like it has the same soul to things. And I think that's why it's not that scary yet. And I think that the more we look into it, the more it can build.
And that's the thing, too, is like with those sorts of arguments where it's like it's not as good yet, they're kind of like on sandy foundation, because that's the point, is that they will eventually get so good that you can't tell. And that's where we rely back on to not the quality necessarily, but innovation, where like innovation, I do think, is important. Yes, the human experience is important. Like I think live shows is going to take a different turn. I think that's going to become more important. And honestly speaking, yeah, like if a company, like if I'm a company that's wanting to sell an ad and I need to hire a production company, but instead I can use Sora.ai for $300 and like get some AI music and stuff and sell an ad. Like if I didn't prioritize enough of that, like people are getting upset about people going the cheaper route when people going for the cheaper route isn't my client. Like if I charge, like right now I charge like $150 per song for mastering. It's a waste of my time to be mad at people that are settling for $10 masters or $25 AI mastering. Like, they weren't going to pay for my services to begin with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what it's done, if anything, all it's done is it's created awareness for the importance of mastering. So by the time they get serious, they realize, oh, AI is not cutting it, which we could talk about in just a moment here. And then they actually mm-hmm. turn into someone that is like, okay, actually, I do want to prioritize this. So it increases awareness. It's basically free PR for the people that are actually doing this at a professional level. And on that note, okay, so literally 2 weeks ago, I did mastering lessons with someone, with a producer down the street of mine, a friend that's in one of my running groups. He just needed to set some masters out. And he's like, I want to learn how to basically do this for like some of my low effort stuff. Because like libraries type stuff. And I said, okay, come over here. And I was like, I was going to show him how to use Ozone, the Ozone AI mastering thing. And then I hit AI, it mm-hmm. like did the rendering, and then all of a sudden it pumped it out. And I was like, holy crap, this sounds fucking terrible, actually. Like, yeah. like it wasn't, yeah. it wasn't just like bad. It was like abusive. Like it, like this song was like fucking, the innocence was ripped away from it. You know, like it like had a dude, it had a very
it
aggressive
just became
perverted
a man out
uncle.
Of nowhere.
Dude, yeah, it was oh, bad. No, it was bad, dude.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, fuck it. Don't use the Ozone AI mastering. Just use the limiter. Like using just the limiter sounded better. So I think there's something to be said about there too. Like these AI algorithms are like trying to fit. Like they have like templates of how it's supposed to make things sound loud, but like loud doesn't always work for every song, and also brighter doesn't work for every song, and also like mm-hmm. there's emotions that play, like the density and the loudness of a song does go into the aesthetic of a song, and not every song needs to have it can fit into the same template aesthetically, even if it's in the same genre or style.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I don't think, so practically now, currently the state of AI, yeah, no, not even close. There's AI mastering tools. I've listened to a few of them, not even close. Mixing tools, not even close. Like, it's not even close. And the people who are using those tools and are getting good results, good for them. They're not potentially my clients anyway. Like, there's nothing off my table. There's nothing I'm losing. I'm not losing anything. Because if they're looking for $100 mixes or $25 mixes, they can't afford my rates. Like, they're not my clients. And this is something
anyways.
That, like... Yeah, so it's like, this is not something to, like... You're not missing out on anything. It shouldn't cause any FOMO because you're not losing out on anything. If anything, it's a good thing because you're making people aware of the importance of these higher-level skills. And it's taking care of the ones that would have been annoying and would have tried to cheap out on you. So you can save your efforts and time for the people that are taking it seriously. So that's our thoughts. I don't want to go too much longer on this. Lou, any other thoughts on this?
Honestly, I just say, like, if you're against it, I would say look at some of the weak spots in your work and see if there's a tool out there that might be able to help you with it and kind of reevaluate and see if it's a tool that is honestly taking away from your work or if it's able to enhance your work. And that's kind of been my view on things. It's not that AI is inherently bad or good. I think it's very neutral. I think it's dependent on the user just as much as, like, you know, is your song a good song or not? I think it's very much dependent on the listener and your own perspective of things. But, you know, just as much as somebody doesn't like country, there's people who do. So there's people who don't like AI. There's people who do. On my end, I'm still in a very discovery stage of things. But so far, of the things that I'm discovering, nothing feels threatening. I'll be honest. Everything that I've tried out that is supposed to replace some, if not all, my work is just not there. For instance, there's an AI tool for woodworkers, where you can actually implement how big a sheet of wood is and how many cuts you're gonna make into it. And it actually factors in the thickness of the blade, what types of cuts, the angle you're supposed to do it at to get the maximization of your wood so that you have less loss of product. You know, if you had to maximize the use of a sheet of wood, what is the best cuts and what order should you cut them in order to maximize the dollar value of what you've put into your costs? Tools like this are only designed to help you. But, you know, if you look at it blindly without giving it a shot, without an honest intent to see it for yourself, you might just blindly say all AI is bad. But in reality, that one is probably saving a lot of woodworkers, which is already a hard enough market to be in, because how many people want to be a woodworker? How many people are subcontracting woodworkers for specialty items? It's not a very common thing. But if you look at you building a house for yourself and you want to put a studio in the back and you need to find out how much wood you need to build a certain amount of panels, suddenly AI is now your friend because it's helping you keep your costs down. You don't need to hire a contractor to tell you how many woodcuts you need, but you also don't need to pull out a piece of paper and calculate how much loss of wood there is because of your blade. You know, most tools are here to help you, and you just have to look at it with an open mind. If you don't look at it with an open mind, if you don't give it an honest shot, you might be looking at it blindly, and doing anything blindly is just already bad.
Okay, the last thing that I would talk about is the Gartner hype cycle. This is a graph that is used to kind of dictate the hype and plateau and regulation of technology, of new technology and the usage. For example, mm-hmm. So there's five stages. So it's this graph that has an upslope, a very high peak, and then a very fast and immediate downslope, and then it slowly plateaus to somewhere in the middle. It kind of shows how new technology is introduced and the expectations versus usage. So, for example, let's say AI starts to build up, and then there's a huge inflated expectation of what AI can do, and it's at the peak of like what people think it can do, and then people are like, oh, it's not as good as we thought, and it immediately shoots down. People think like, oh, now AI is just, it's the trough of disillusionment is what it's called, and then it's like, it's super low. It's like, oh, nobody cares about it, and then slowly through the slope, it's called the next stage, a slope of enlightenment, and people are like, oh, wait, actually, it is kind of useful, and then there's the plateau of productivity where like technology is like, okay, it's starting to get accepted, and like it's actually productive. So the Gartner hype cycle. So there's different things. I'm looking at something online right now where like quantum computing as a service is in the first part. So it's going up the slope. It's not quite hyped yet. It's not overly hyped. It's within the first stage, which is innovation trigger. So it's like people are still trying to innovate. Consumption-based model is still in that section. Cloud sustainability. Things that are at the peak right now is cloud and generative AI, like way overhyped. These are all very, very API-centric SaaS platform engineering. These are all like very nerdy stuff here. And then down is like we see things that are not as important, cloud marketplaces, cloud AI services, just overhyped. And then slowly things are getting up. So like plateau of productivity, cloud migration, private cloud computing, cloud managed services. These things used to be overhyped and now are coming back up and becoming productive again. So we're going to go through this and we'll see the same thing. Like we can say the same thing with like the technology of like Bitcoin, where there was like a huge bubble of Bitcoin and then everyone's like, fuck this shit. And then like it died. And then like a couple months ago, it's like Bitcoin was like the highest that it had almost ever been. And it's starting to like plateau again. We want to avoid bubbles and we're seeing a bubble with AI. I think AI in general is super overhyped, especially for creative stuff. I think people that are upset about it are kind of upset about something that doesn't quite exist yet. It's simply overhyped. I think that there's not much to be excited about yet for the people that are optimistic about it. And I think that things will move fast and it'll be no time. But I think that humans will naturally find this middle ground of where we can use it to be productive and not use it as a not... the general population will always use the productive route. And it may, in the short term, it will always seem like we're losing something because of it. But we always gain something that the general population, and it's not the oldest people at the top, it's not a greedy Bob Iger, it's the general population and the priorities changing of humanity. And humanity will always like music. And we'll always like the human connection to stuff. And I think like Hatsune Miku is not AI, but like is this concept of like it's a robot. Like people are obsessed with a robot and like this generated voice. But it's like the connection to Taylor Swift as a person is different than like a fan of Hatsune Miku. You know, so it's like I think there is going to be a gentle balance between both sides that we will see. And I think... at the end of the day, in 100 years time, we'll look back and it'll just be a matter of fact. And there was a bubble and the bubble burst and people were upset when the bubble burst. And it's going to be, it's gonna plateau into something productive. I really do believe that, and I think it's okay to be optimistic about it. That's the point of this episode. Feel free to be optimistic about it. Just enjoy it. Have fun. There's a lot of funny things out there. There's a lot of fun things out there. Like Frank Sinatra singing my favorite anime themes. Still blown away. Amazing. And I love it.
Calling somebody wiener baby through song. That's always fun.
Yeah, just it's funny, dude. It's Obscurus Vinyl as a concept is so good. And I hope, we'll see what happens. We don't know. We're all speculating. We have no idea. But for me, I'm going to lean into it and I'm going to adopt it. And I think that that's something that I'll cross that bridge when it gets there. And on that note, thank you so much for listening. Please rate us 5 stars if you like this sort of content. Please, if you want more specific tips on mixing and how to mix, how to use a compressor, how to EQ in various different styles and on different songs and types, go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to like a couple hundred more episodes immediately, ad-free episodes of the exclusive episodes. We do 2 exclusive episodes every single week, and they're great. So go check that out for $4 a month or $40 a year. Get access to the exclusive episodes. It's great. It's fantastic. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.